Good morning and greetings. I invite you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here in the end of this book of Thessalonians, Paul gives what's my Bible titles various exhortations. And I want to just read for a text this morning three short verses. You may wonder if it's even worth turning to them, but and you probably know them by heart. But three short verses, starting in verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The title of the message this morning is, In Everything, Give Thanks. Recently, I heard a friend tell a story. He's from Pennsylvania, and he was traveling in another country. And while he was there, he met this church leader that had been placed in prison for 5 years. And one of those years, he was in prison. While he was in prison, he was in solitary confinement. During the time he was in prison, his wife left him. And for a period of about 10 years, he was not able to see his sons. He also lost 18 years of his savings, life savings. My friend heard this man preach a sermon. He was at a worship service with him, and he preached. And the title of his message was, In Everything, Give Thanks. After the service, my friend asked this man, if he was ever tempted to get angry or bitter with God for the things that he had suffered, and instead of hanging his head and saying that, yeah, it's been a real battle, his reply was a joyful, I have received so much from God that he wouldn't have to answer another prayer for the rest of my life, and I would still serve him. That story really made me think. If I was that man that was placed in prison and I had spent a year in solitary confinement and I had lost my wife and all the money that I had saved, would that be the message that I would share? In everything, give thanks. Would I be praising the Lord? Today I want to consider the subject of gratitude. And I want to look at this verse 18, just take it bit by bit. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The first word we have there is in. And we all know what in means. If you're in something, you're inside. We're all in the church right now. We're not out. It's expressing the situation of something that is or appears to be enclosed or surrounded by something else. It denotes a whereabouts. For in something, it's where we're at. And we use it in the physical sense, like I'm in the house or I'm in the barn. But we also use it in a non-physical sense. We might, in our vows, wedding vows, we say in sickness and in health, or in riches, or in poverty. Or we might say, I'm in trouble, or I'm in a time of stress. And so it denotes where you are at right now. In. So whatever the situation you are in, you are to give thanks. It's like where you are at. And you know, sometimes we look back. I think Wesley mentioned this. We look back and we see the hand of God, and we thank him for that. And that's good, and we should. We should look back and see the hand of God. But it's compelling here that he says, in everything, give thanks. Where you are at right now. The next word we have there is everything. And the Greek word that's used there is used over 1,000 times in the New Testament, but it's usually translated all. So quite literally, Paul is saying, in all things, give thanks. And I thought about what Richard Hurr said. You've probably heard it before. All means all, and that's all that all means, right? It means all. But practically speaking, that seems almost impossible. In all things, give thanks. You know, it's natural and it's even easy to give thanks when things are easy, when things are going well. But can we give thanks when things are not going so well? When we are going through difficulties? And I think that the fact of the matter is that we don't always know what are blessings and what are not. I'd like to read a story, a little bit long, but I thought it was illustrates this well. There was an old man in a village, very poor, but even kings were jealous of him because he had a beautiful white horse. Such a horse had never been seen before. The beauty, the very grandeur, the strength. Kings asked for the horse, and they offered fabulous prices. But the old man would say, "This horse is not a horse to me. He is a friend. He is not a possession. How can you sell a friend?" "No, it's not possible." The man was poor, and there was every temptation, but he never sold the horse. One morning, he suddenly found that the horse was not in the stable. The whole village gathered, and they said, "You foolish old man, we knew it beforehand that someday the horse would be stolen. And you are so poor, how can you protect such a thing? It would have been better if you would to sell it. You could have fetched any price you asked. Any fancy price was possible. But now the horse is gone. It is a curse, a misfortune." The old man said, "Don't go so far. Simply say that the horse is not in the stable. This is the fact. Everything else is judgment. Whether it is a misfortune or not, how do you know? How do you judge?" The people said, "Don't try to befool us. We may not be great philosophers, but no philosophy is needed. It is a simple fact that a treasure has been lost. It is a misfortune." The old man said, "I will stick to the fact that the stable is empty and the horse is gone. Anything else, I don't know. Whether it is a misfortune or a blessing, because this is just a fragment, who knows what is going to follow it?" The people laughed. They thought the old man had gone mad. They always knew it. He was a little crazy. Otherwise, he would have sold his horse and lived in riches. But he was living like a woodcutter, and he was very old and still cutting wood, and bringing the wood from the forest and selling it. He was living hand to mouth in misery and poverty. Now it was completely certain that this man was crazy. After 15 days, suddenly one night the horse returned. He had not been stolen. He had escaped to the wilderness. And not only did he come back, he brought a dozen wild horses with him. Again, the people gathered and they said, "Oh man, you were right. And we were wrong. It was not a misfortune. It proved to be a blessing. We are sorry that we insisted." The old man again said, "Again, you go too far. Just say that the horse is back and that 12 horses have come with the horse. But don't judge. Who knows whether it is a blessing or not? It is only a fragment. Unless you know the whole story, how can you judge? You read only one page of the book. How can you judge the whole book? You read only a sentence and you judge the page. You read only a single word and you judge the sentence. Life is so vast, a fragment of a word, and you have judged the whole. Don't say this is a blessing. Nobody knows. This time the people could not say much. Maybe the old man was again right, so they kept silent, but inside they knew well that he was wrong. 12 beautiful horses had come with the horse and a little training, and they could all be sold and would fetch much money. The old man had a young son, only one son. The young son started to train the wild horses. Just a week later, he fell from the horse and his legs were broken. The people gathered again, and again they judged. They said, "You were right." And again you proved right. It was not a blessing. It was again a misfortune. Your only son has lost his legs, and in your old age, he was your only support. Now you're poorer than ever. The old man said, "You are obsessed with judgment. Don't go that far. Say only that my son has broken his legs. Who knows whether this is a misfortune or a blessing? Nobody knows. Again, a fragment. More and more is never given to you. Life comes in fragments, and judgment is about the total." It happened that after a few weeks, the country went to war with a neighboring country, and all the young men of the town were forcibly taken for the military. Only the old man's son was left because he was crippled. The people gathered, crying and weeping, because from every house, young people were forcibly taken away. There was no possibility of their coming back because the country that had attacked was a big country and the fight was a losing fight. They were not going to come back. The whole town was crying and weeping, and they came to the old man and they said, "You were right, old man. God knows you were right. This proved a blessing. Maybe your son is crippled, but still he is with you. Our sons are gone forever. At least he is alive and with you, and by and by he will start walking. Maybe a little limp will be left, but he will be okay." Again, the old man said, "It is impossible to talk to you people. You go on and on and on. You go on judging. Nobody knows. Only say this, that your sons have been forced into the military, into the army, and my son has not been forced. But nobody knows whether it is a blessing or a misfortune. No one is wise enough. Only God knows." It's a bit of a long story there, but it teaches an important lesson that so often we don't see the whole. We only see a part, and too often we judge. So often our perceptions are skewed, and we so quickly judge and cast judgment. But no man is wise enough to know. Only God knows. So in every situation we find ourselves in, we believe in the sovereignty of God in that situation. And we believe that all things happen and are allowed for a purpose. Instead of trying to figure out whether something is a blessing or a curse, we need to just focus on giving thanks in everything, in every situation that it comes into our lives. The next phrase we have here is give thanks. Give thanks. That's just one word in the Greek, and I'm not sure that I can say it. You are eucharistio, and it simply means to be grateful and to express that gratitude. We see it often in the New Testament. We see it used when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. When they got the loaves and the fishes, it says that he gave thanks and break them and gave it to his disciples. We see it used at the Last Supper when Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and said, "This, take this, divide it among yourselves." 2 verses later, he says, and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And what I want to point out is this phrase is talking about an action that is done. It's more than just a feeling of the heart. It needs to find itself in expression. And usually when we see this phrase, give thanks, it's in conjunction with prayer. John Wesley said, "Thanksgiving is inseparable from true prayer. It is almost essentially connected with it. He that always prays is ever giving praise, whether in ease or pain, both for prosperity and for adversity. He blesses God for all things, looks on them as coming from Him, and receives them only for His sake." I'd like to just point out a few places in Scripture where giving thanks and prayer are mentioned side by side. Ephesians 1:16 says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 1:3 says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." Colossians 1:3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." 1 Thessalonians 1:2, "We give thanks to God always, making mention of you in our prayers." And so the point I'm trying to make here is that just having a grateful heart, while that is essential and important, it needs to find expression. You know, if you men sat down to a wonderful meal and you got up and you just had a grateful feeling in your heart for that meal and you did not express it, that's not enough, right? And if you did that the next day and the next day, your wife was preparing a wonderful meal and all you did was just had that expression of gratitude in your heart. No, it's not enough. It needs to find expression. And so the same is true for you and I. We need to give thanks. It needs to come out. It needs to be expressed in our words, in our praise, in our prayers. Give thanks. The next phrase we have here is, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." As I thought about that phrase, "For this is the will of God for you, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you," I thought about the story of Paul and Silas when they were in Philippi. And I know you know the story, but they went to Philippi, and they had this girl that started following them around. And maybe I should just turn to that. That's in Acts 16. "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace. to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs that are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them in securely. And having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, I want to just pause right there. So these Paul and Silas were doing what they felt like was God's will, right? They were preaching the word. They had just cast out a demon. And yet, we find them here. Their clothes are stripped off. They're beaten. They're placed into prison, and they're put into stocks. Now, we talk about placing yourselves in their shoes. Place yourself in their stocks, and you're the one there just having been beaten, and you're there sitting on the floor, no way of escape. What would your response be? How would you respond? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Can y'all just hear Paul and Silas sitting there saying, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Now, I'm sure they weren't singing that, but something like that. Praising the Lord, giving thanks. We all want to be in the center of God's will. We want to do what pleases him. And yet being in the center of God's will can take us into some difficult and uncomfortable situations like Paul and Silas. Places where our flesh wants to cry out for relief and release. And I wonder how often and how easy it is for you and I when we're in that situation, instead of worshiping and praising the Lord, grumbling and complaining. Paul and Silas were right in the center of God's will. I believe they were. And they were happy to be counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And they were there giving thanks, praising the Lord, singing a hymn, right in the middle of that difficult situation. And so God's will for you and I is that whatever situation we are going in, no matter how difficult and how painful, we are to give thanks. I want to leave you this morning with two challenges, and that giving thanks in everything is both possible and it is profitable. Living a life of gratitude, of giving thanks, is possible, but first we are going to have to give up our right to have things our way. We have to accept the fact that we live in a broken and a fallen world, and that suffering and difficulties and hardships are going to come my way. That's just part of life. And the question is not when I experience these things, but how will I respond? The choice to give thanks in all things is a difficult choice to make, but it is a possible choice to make. You can choose to give thanks in everything. But not only is it possible, it is profitable for us. You know, when we complain and grumble about the things that we're facing, it's discouraging, isn't it? Have you been around people that grumble and complain? I've probably been that person too often. But not only that, I believe God is not glorified when we are grumbling and complaining. But on the contrary, when we choose to be grateful and to give thanks in all things, our focus is turned away from ourselves, and we end up glorifying God. It is inspiring to hear someone giving thanks, especially when you know they're going through a difficult time. And my mind went to Sister Martha Burkholder. I mean, I know all of you have went and visited her at some point, and she didn't have a lot. She had went through a lot of difficulties in her life, and yet she was such a dear saint, so thankful for what God had done for her. I always went away from there more encouraged than I think I gave encouragement. Choosing the path of gratitude and giving thanks in all things can be transformational in our lives. It can change you from being miserable and bitter about the situations you're in to a life of joy and surrender. I believe giving thanks is a key to joy in our lives. And I know that I fail in this. And so I'm preaching to myself today. The choice is ours whether we choose to give thanks in all things. In Luke 17, we have the story of Jesus passing from Samaria to Galilee. And as he came to a certain village, he met 10 lepers there. And when they saw that Jesus coming, they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." These 10 lepers were in a terrible situation. They had no hope for life. And yet here came Jesus, and they knew that Jesus had the power to change their lives. And so they cried out to him, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus did have mercy on them. He said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Hallelujah. Don't you imagine that every one of those 10 were rejoicing and tickled pink that they were cleansed? The leprosy was gone. But only one came back. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." I think this story just illustrates how easy it is for you and I to be ungrateful. Probably all of them were happy and thankful, but only one went back and expressed that gratitude and gave glory to God. And you know, if we place ourselves in that story, we like to think that we would be the one that would come back, right? We'd be the one that would go back and thank Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, only 10%, 90% of the people did not go back. I think this story also could maybe show us that ungratefulness is not usually an intentional sin. It's just something we forget or we neglect to do. It's a sin of omission. But let's just not brush it aside and say, "Well, I just meant to, but I forgot." If we need to look within, and if we are ungrateful, if that is the pattern of our lives, it is an indicator of a selfish and carnal heart, and we need to reckon with that. So I want to challenge myself, and I want to challenge you to think about where your heart is. Do I need to repent of an ungrateful and complaining spirit? Are you counting your blessings, or do you feel entitled? Are you whining, or are you worshiping? As I prepared this message, I had to ask myself, am I a thankful person? Am I a grateful person? Do I express that gratitude to others and to God? And I want to challenge you to ask yourself that question. Are you a grateful person? Are you thanking others? Are you thanking God? And maybe if you want to really be brave, ask the people around you, are you a grateful person? What will they say about you? In everything, give thanks. I want to close with one verse from Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We have so much to be thankful for. Lord bless you.